John chapter 15 and verse 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Well, like we said, it's a communion service. And I start reading from verse 7 here. It says, Jesus said here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That the words their joy may be full, fullness there means, there will be no space or no vacuum in your heart or every part of your life. Joy will have gotten right on the inside of it. In other words, everything about you will radiate joy. Now, how do we get there? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, when he uses my words, they come from, there are two words that I use to describe or to say word in Greek. And the second one is rhemas. And so that means, right, a portion or here, portions of scripture that have been quickened unto you by the Holy Spirit that speaks to you, all right, about specific issues in your life. In other words, it's not generic there. It is as you are reading or listening, the scripture came out and was like a prophetic word. Spoke directly to you, captured the emotion that you are going through, and spoke directly saying, this will be the outcome of this, or these are the steps that you need to take. So Jesus said, if you abide in me, and those abide in you. He said, then shall you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, he said, it will be what you will, because I am at work in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. And the way he gets us to will of his good pleasure is by revealing his words to us concerning specific things within our lives. And what he shows us will far exceed anything we can imagine. So we will align with his will concerning it. And so he says that this abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. But the idea here I want to get across is that Jesus said, then you will bear much fruit. And if Jesus used the word much, then that's a lot. And he said, and the Father will be glorified in your life, and so shall you be my disciples. In other words, this is how people that follow me or walk with me, this is how they pattern their lives. They abide in me. They allow my words concerning the things that they are going through to abide in them. And then they, what do they do with those words? They bring those words back to me and they pray those things in order for me to execute on those things I have shown them in the scriptures. So what they understand is this, God is at work in us, both to will and then to do. Now, he will reveal things to us and show us his will in the scriptures, and then we will pray and ask according to his will, and he will hear us, and then he will perform those things that he has shown us in his word. So we do understand that it is the responsibility of God to fulfill in and through us that which he has shown us in the word. And that's how we become fruitful. In other words, we don't just try to execute the word on our own. What we see, we pray and ask him to fulfill. And when we do it that way, then we bring forth much fruit. And that's why I asked the question on 390 years. Because the will of God became apparent to Moses. And Moses shifted his will from being called the son of Pharaoh, stutter there, to saying, I'm going to be the liberator of Israel. And there was a shift, which means the Moses they knew growing up, suddenly there was a revelation that entered into his heart and his will changed. But then the mistake he made, which many of us make, is that he tried to execute independent of God. Now God says, I am the one that will cause you to will, but I'm also the one that will cause you to do. So what Moses should have done was to have taken the will back to God and asked him to fulfill those things. So God reveals to us, I want you to love your enemies. And he shows us in specific terms that this person that offended you, I want complete and total forgiveness. The mistake we make is that we think he's telling us to go and try and do it, and then we try to do it and fall short and enter into condemnation and feel guilty. What he's saying is that ask me. I've shown you what I want done in your soul. Therefore, ask me in faith to remove out of your heart every form of animosity, to wipe clean from your consciousness, all right, the thought and the feeling there of pain and all of that, and I will go on the inside of you, and I will do that work, and there will be much fruit. And so shall you be my disciple, and the Father will be glorified in your life. So he has made it easy while we have made it hard. And what we have done is that we have tried to fulfill his will when he has said, I reveal my will for you to pray my will so that I will fulfill my will in and through you. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 5:39. He said, you search the scriptures for you think in them you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me with that testimony that I might give you life. So you are trying to create the life instead of simply asking me. He said, all I want is for you to align your own will with mine. That is all I ask of you. And make the fulfillment of my objective, right, yours. And then ask me to do it and come to the throne of grace. And I will release grace to you to cause that which I have shown you in the word, right, to become a reality within your soul. And here is the system of God that he wants for his people. He reveals, we pray with the revelation, he fulfills, all right, the revelation on the inside of us. That's God's system. But what we do is we get the revelation and we think it's our responsibility to fulfill the revelation, and then we try and do it. And then we fall short, and people now start having wilderness experiences because they don't understand God's system. So God's system is the revelation comes, and then what happens is we pray that revelation, and that causes him, right, to fulfill it within our lives. So look at this. So as a church, he wants us, he reveals things to us. And he wants us to pray those things he has revealed. For example, Paul told Timothy, he said, you see all these prophecies that have come over you. He said, by them, don't just sit down or you try to make them happen. He said, by them war a good warfare. In other words, they are to be used in prayer for the establishment of the events that are described in those prophecies. And then Peter tells us we have a more sure word of prophecy. So the word of God is prophetic in nature. You will do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place. In other words, give a more earnest heed to the things you once heard. Don't let them sleep. Take those things up to God in prayer. It says, until the day dawns. And then the day star rises in your heart. So what happens is you stay in prayer and then the day dawns. And you now go out, and it's like something has arisen over your life. So, for example, we teach a series here, and then what God expects of us is to build prayers because he grants the revelation because he wants to do something. So he starts out by revealing his will and loading us with his words. Then he says, don't just as individuals go and try to fulfill this. Pray this revelation, for there's a reason why I gave it to you. Pray it, and then it will bring forth fruit. And I said this last week and some time back. So personally, I realized that in ministry, and I talk about this, that I wasted a lot of energy. Because when you preach something, what happens is the faith of people become alive for that particular thing. In other words, they are awakened to God to fulfill it. So, for example, we did a series on Quantum Leap. People are awakened. They see in the scriptures. They have scriptures that tell them that this is God's will. Now, the next thing is not just to leave the people to go and try to fulfill that within their lives, but to collectively pray that revelation there so that people enter into the experience of it. Some might enter into it immediately. Some might even enter into it 4 years later, but they will remember that what they are experiencing now came as a result of a season of deep prayer they were involved in with a group of people that birthed something within their life based on definite scriptures that they had. Kenneth Hagin said when he went about ministry in a certain way, he always got results. In other words, he will go to preach in places and call it a faith and healing crusade. Now, the minute people hear healing, what happens is they will, all right, want to get healed, so they come in for the meetings. But he'll tell them, I'm here for 3 weeks. Don't ask the first day they come, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. He says, don't ask to be prayed for first day. I'm not going to pray for any sick person. We are going to teach for 2 weeks, then on the last week, I start praying. Because there's a difference between a person coming based on the fact that he desires just to get healed from somebody who comes knowing that it is God's will for him to be healed. One comes because he just wants to relieve from the pain. There is no revelation of God's intent for his life. And then after 2 weeks, he sees it clearly that God is willing to use his power. In fact, this is what his will is concerning me now, to use his power in my body to drive out all forms of sickness and disease. And so there's a change that has happened. They are now coming, all right, on the basis of the knowledge of God's will, having been instructed. He said, doing it this way, we have never failed to get results. So, God has a system for implementing anything on the earth. And when we understand his system and participate in it, then we enter into agreement with him and we bear much fruit. The body of Christ, this is the church, all right, the pattern that Paul showed us, or the body of Christ was patterned after the human body. Paul taught about the different parts inside the human body and talked about the different parts in the body of Christ with different types of gifts. Now, the human body works on systems, and the body of Christ also works on systems. For example, the body has what we call the digestive system. In other words, once you eat, it goes through a particular system. There is a way in which every time it follows that, in order for the food to be useful, all right, to that particular individual that has eaten it, there is the digestive system. There is the respiratory system. A particular pattern always goes through that. Muscular system, nervous system. So the body has different systems that are operating. And so the body of Christ also has, all right, I don't talk about this system here, a system for productivity and a system for fruitfulness. When people are opened up to his word, that word must be taken through a particular system in order for it to bear fruit. And the system we're seeing here is that God says, bring my word back to me in prayer in order for me to fulfill it in your lives. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 tells us, God said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It says, the word that goes out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. Now, if you read this in the original language, which is Hebrew, this is how it actually reads. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. If it returns to me, it will not be void. In other words, those that hear that word, if that word returns to me, in other words, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then what you do is take the words back to him. For we ask according to his will, he hears us. So take the revelation, if it returns back unto me, all right, the same way water is heated up and it returns back into the clouds and then comes back, it's a system, all right, of rainfall. It says, if this word comes back to me in prayer, if they turn to me with those words, it says, they shall not be void. The word void there is the same word Naomi said. She said, the same word, all right, God told Abraham, he said, your people will not go out of Egypt empty-handed, void, all right, which means they will go out fruitful. They will go out carrying something. So if people practice this, my word goes forth and they bring it back, he said, in the lives of those people, they will not be empty-handed. They will have the result of the words that they listen to. But if they're just trying to do it and they don't bring it back to me and they feel that, you know, it's their responsibility to do it and they're trying to act on it without coming back to me first, then the word may not bring forth fruit or will not. But it shall accomplish that which I please. In other words, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I've sent it. Then those folks in verse 12 will go out with joy and they shall be led forth, all right, the scripture says, in peace, and the mountains and the hills. So they bring the word back unto God in prayer. They break into a place of joy and peace. They go out, and the mountains and the hills break forth before them, all right, into singing there. So what God wants is that he wants his people there, all right, to come into fellowship with him. I mean, 1 John tells us, these things that we have seen, which our hands have handled, we share these things with you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. In other words, this revelation, what we are doing, you come into our fellowship, all right? And in our fellowship, what we are doing is taking this revelation back to the Father and back to Jesus, and we are sure to get results, all right? It says, and this is the system or the fellowship that you have come into. So when people join a local church, they actually should come into a fellowship. In other words, they come into a congregation, group of people that are receiving revelation and praying a seasonal, all right, things, bringing forth fruit in the season. God gives them the seed for that season, and they are praying that. So you enter into a group of people that are bringing forth fruit. It's a fellowship there. And that's why Paul said, the Bible tells us in Acts that they continued in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship. In other words, the doctrine were the words of Jesus, and then they entered into fellowship, and all of them were experiencing, all right, those things. The grace was being poured, all right, upon all of them collectively as they were praying those things that were revealed unto them. The grace of God was being poured out, all right, upon each individual, everyone was experiencing the grace of God within their lives. So there's the system here that God wants, a community of people, as the Bible says, all right, the Lord published his word, great, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of them that published it, right? That is the company of people, the fellowship of people that were involved in that particular thing. John chapter 6 and verse 13. I'm going to get to communion, but I'm building there so we understand what a local church is about. John 16 and verse 13, it tells us about the work of the Holy Spirit, the one who gives this revelation. Howbeit, here the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit wants to guide us into all truth. He wants to, the things he's hearing, all right, he's saying those things. He wants to show us things to come. He wants to receive the things of Jesus in verse 14, show it unto us. He says, take the things of God, show them unto us. And the reason why he wants to do that is so that we can pray those things. And when we pray those things, right, then what happens is we enter into the manifestation of those things. And that's the fellowship that the Bible speaks about. Now, let's go one step deeper into it. So God wants people to pray his word back unto him so that he can fulfill his word. Right? He shows us things in the scripture that are beyond human ability to get it done. Isaiah 34 tells us, he says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want amid. It says, for my mouth has commanded it, but it is my spirit that brings about the fulfillment of it. So the Holy Spirit, first of all, wants to show us things in scripture. We get remas, we get insights, all right, from the scriptures. And then he wants us to take a step further there, and he says, now, bring those things back to me. Take words and turn to God. And then he says, I will now fulfill in your life the things that you pray unto me. Now, looking at the work of the Holy Spirit, let's look at 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, or from verse 9. It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Now he says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, did they minister the things that are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, all right, which things the angels desire to look into. In other words, the things that have been preached by the Spirit, the angels themselves haven't seen this. So God says he wants the ministry to preach things that the Spirit of God, that the Holy Ghost uses the ministry to preach those things, all right? And that's what they were saying, apostles' doctrine, and then they get into fellowship. John said, the things we have seen, we share, that we might get into fellowship. And then he said, our fellowship is with the Father. So the order of God is ministry, preach it. And then I understood, when I understood this, why Paul kept saying, pray that God will open a door of utterance. Pray that God, when he asked the church, he said, pray for me that God will give a door of utterance. I had Brother Copeland's daughter, Terry Pearson, talk about utterance. And she said, that door of utterance, and I understood it that day, I had her say this, is not opportunities to preach all over. She said, it's a door in the realm of the Spirit. Now, when you look at the book of Revelation, a door was opened unto John in the spirit realm. And God said, come and see the things that shall happen shortly. In other words, when a door of utterance is opened up to a person, God shows that person what he is about to do. And he says, utter those things to the people so that they can now pray those things that have been uttered there. Like Elijah said, I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And then he said, I'm going into prayer that the sound that I've heard, the revelation that I've received, will come to pass. And he stayed there until the day dawned. And the day star rose. And then he got up. And as he got up from that place of prayer and started running, then the mountains and the hills broke forth, and the rain began to fall. And that's the system of God.
Thank you for listening.